needs a preface. This shmooze needs a preface, introduction. I'm going to start through the Maor Makomos. You read a couple of them, and we'll discuss each of them. Like the Chedushim are just almost in the translation, almost. It still needs an introduction. I don't want to start with the introduction. I got to get warmed up. So let's start with the Toelas Rishon. The whole fight between Yaakov and Esav is just fascinating. So let's start with Toelas Rishon. HaToelas Rishon Hu B'Midos. V'Usheroi L'Mishi Yesh Lo Sone. Someone who has a Sone, someone who hates him. V'Yeretza. And he wants Shatasa Sinasa Imenu. And you want his sinna to be removed. She is Kariv Elov Bechol Oz. You should get close to him with all of your might, the Yagid Lo and Yanov, and share with him your personal profile. Kibazeh Miskarvos Alavavos Mash Lo Yelam. Because by doing this, the hearts will become close, because you're not being private. When you're private, you don't answer questions. It's very standoffish. If someone asks you how you're doing, if you think he means it, you just say good, good Baruch Hashem. It's like very, it's cold. Even though you didn't mean to be cold, but a little cold. Then of course, if you tell them too much, they think you're weird. I went to the doctor yesterday, and they didn't mean to ask you that much, but depending who asks, when you share with somebody something a little bit more personal than good Baruch Hashem, it makes the person feel close to you. It's good to keep in mind. V'zeh, ki ha'adam lo yodia prote inyanev kiim la'oavo. Because a person only shares his personal things with people that he loves. V'yalime me'asone, and he conceals them from the people he dislikes, from the sone. You know, you see a guy once a week in shul, three rows behind you, you know each other, but you don't know too much about him, because sometimes you don't even know their last name, where they live. You've been down with them for 10 years sometimes, you don't know anything about them. Because you're not really friends, you're just acquaintances, but the people who are your loved ones, close friends, you share with them things about you. Vizet and Cain, Mimasha Yised Belibo Shuovo, that which you implant in your heart that Shuovo, that you love him, you're so to speak demonstrating that you love him, you treat him like an Ohev, the Yeshaver Levavo will break his heart, but Tosser Sinas Imenu. It's going to remove the sinna from him. Lizat Himsa, take a look. Sheshalach Yaakov Malachim le'Esav, that Yaakov sent Malachim to Esav, lo'dia lo'inyanav, to share with him some of his personal profile, k'deisha yisyashiv v'libo shu'ovo, so to send into in Esav's heart that he is an Oev, and that will somehow diminish or decrease the sinner that Esav had for Yaakov. Now this is pretty fantastic. And I was speaking to a bunch of you the last couple of weeks on this is where the introduction is needed. This is the best-selling How to Win Friends and Influence People. Here you have Yaakov and Esav. This is the, the meeting of the century. And Esav's coming with 400 men. This is serious business. The reason why Yaakov sent Malachim, according to some of the Midrashim, is because there were no human beings that wanted to go and be an emissary for Yaakov. He couldn't get anyone to go. So he had to like get a malach to go. So that's why he sent malachim. This is pretty serious arch enemy. And yet, you know, the Ralbag says it so casually that this is one of the tenets of human relations. If you do that, it's going to tasser sinasim, and it's going to remove the sinner. I mean, lechora, this makes absolutely no sense. Esav hated Yaakov. He didn't dislike the way he looked. Yaakov stole the brachas from Esav. And Esav wanted to retaliate. Now, think about this for a second. You are coming with an army now for retaliation. The deed was done. Yitzhak gave the brachas to Yaakov. You're coming with an army with a reason. And then Yaakov sends over Malachim and starts telling him about his personal profile, what his hobbies are, what his interests are, what his kids are holding, which yeshivas his grandchildren are going to, how many cattle he has, how many sheep, how many chickens he has in his yeshiva. He's sharing with him really personal things, and this is going to dissipate the sinner from Esav to Yaakov. This should be packaged and sold. This is amazing. Like, it makes no sense why Esav's sinner would be reduced. It makes no sense that it's reduced anything, not even a hair's reduction. So, this, first of all, it has to get our attention. Now, I said this is a little bit of an introduction. Okay, I am not suggesting that you're in a fight with your chavrusa or the guy in the dorm, and you go to him and say, you know, I just lost $14 in my bank account, and all is going well. This is not a practice that I don't think we hold of to be used. I mean, for Yaakov and Esav, you have an arch enemy, yes. These are tactics to be used. I think the issue which I'm not discussing, these are not tactics to use for your chaverim. This is not good for a Rebbe-Talmud relationship. I mean, people that you're seeing every day, you have to have like an open relationship. You know, I wouldn't suggest for marriage counseling, you know, that you start telling, you know, that you use some of the tactics that we're going to see over here, because it's going to be figured out. That's going to be a fake. It's not real. But I assume in this situation, a person has to be prepared for this situation also. You know, these are not your ovim, not people that you're dealing with. Yaakov was going to have to deal with Esav one time. But it's still, this would be, if I was writing the book on how to win friends and influence people, this would make it in the book. I would include this preface that I'm not sure this is not something to be used for people that you have ongoing relationships with. Actually, I would not suggest this to people that you want to have ongoing relationships with, because it's going to explode. It's going to backfire. But for certainly in this situation, it's just mind-boggling that it didn't even address slightly the reason, the taina that Esav had on Yaakov. It doesn't address it at all. And yet it seems to work. Additionally, I don't know the the makar for Esav Sonias Yaakov. I don't know the makar for that, but this might even transcend a certain mystique. You have someone who hates you that doesn't know the reason. This could work also. It would come across, one would have thought, like as empty platitudes. but it could be effective. It's kochos hanefesh. Just understand the kochos hanefesh here that was going to be able to remove some of the sinna that Esav had. Let's go on to number two. Twelas Hashenu b'midos v'hu sheroi la'adam. It's befitting for a person shiye mefachet tamid. He should constantly be afraid. The yishvot hadvarim b'yoseh rash efsher. And he should try to triage things, to be very conservative in your planning. I don't want to use the word be pessimistic. It's not to be pessimistic, but you have to be prepared for the worst. Being prepared for the worst does not mean pessimistic. Pessimistic means it's like the reality is not so gloomy and you just get down. This is in terms of your preparation to be prepared for the worst. Kadeshi esponin lakafas eitzel limolimem, so that you should be able to think through and how to seek counsel to be able to protect yourself from that bad. Hello, Tira, take a look. Kisheshama Yaakov she'esav achiv holech lekraso. When he heard that Yaakov was coming, I'm sorry, when Yaakov heard that Esav was coming with Varba Meos Ishima, with 400 men, Yaresh Yebo lahaziklo, he was afraid that he was coming to hurt him. Even though the word had already come from the Bono Shalom, Hashem said, I'll be with you. What's the word about? Hashem told you himself. He's going to protect you. And there's also reason to assume, wow, my brother Esav is coming with 400 men. Chashuv. He's coming to honor me with 400 emissaries to properly greet me. How would someone come to a great king? You don't come yourself. So maybe Esav was coming with 400 men to honor him. That's why Yaakov was able to strategize properly to seek counsel to be prepared for any contingency. So I was thinking about this one also. You try and put yourself in Yaakov's shoes. Here's Esav. It is well known that Esav's feelings were not a secret. Yaakov knew who Esav was. That's why there was this whole scheme with Rivka to steal the brachas from Esav. And Rivka sent Yaakov away and run away from home, so to speak, to run away so Esav doesn't kill you. He knew that Esav would be angry. So, fine, Hashem told him he's going to help him, and Esav's coming with 400 men. Why, what reason? Let's take he gives two reasons. Hashem told him to help him. Okay, I don't know if I can address that one. If Yaakov was on such a high level of bitachon, so that should have been enough. But the Rabbah gives a second reason, so I guess we could also analyze the second reason, even if it was mutually exclusive, even just by itself. The second reason, maybe the 400 men were coming to honor him, but maybe the 400 men are coming to kill him. So why would Yaakov assume that they're coming to honor him with the notion, with the possibility that he's coming to kill him? What do you need this Rabbah for? It's like it's pretty obvious. I mean, Esav, who is his arch enemy, you don't need the 400 men coming to think that. He stole the brachas from him. You ran away from home because he was going to kill you. And now it's whatever time later, years and years later, he's coming with 400 men. You have no idea why he's coming. Maybe he's coming to chabad you, maybe he's coming to hurt you. So in this situation, do you need to teach us that under the circumstances, you should consider and prepare for the worst? Isn't that obvious? Elamai, we see that it's not so obvious. There's also, it seems to be that there's a human nature that people don't like to deal. We don't like to deal with things. We don't like to worry about things. We don't like to deal with things. And if we could be tola on it that that's probably not going to be okay, everything's going to be fine, we write it off. I don't know how to deal with the bitachon. Like, what's pshat? If he had a promise from Hashem, so why would he have to prepare for the worst? They say Shema Yigum Achet. Maybe he was worried that Achet took place, but I'm not going to touch that one. But on the second item that he says, it could have been interpreted either way, for good and for bad, you have to be ready to prepare because maybe it's the worst. Pashut. Teretz says we have to know that. It's also human nature that we don't want to have to deal with things. Rachmana l'slan, people don't prepare for the worst. They don't prepare, even though it's a possibility. They push it off. They don't want to deal with it. So we see from here, it's to be able to fight that inclination. People have an inclination to try and not have to concern themselves with things that really do have to concern themselves with. There's a tendency to, I don't know if it's atzlus or it takes a lot of gumption, it takes a lot of energy to try and deal with things. It's any kind of suffix, I'll just assume that it'll work out. It'll probably work out. Or let's say it doesn't work out. You're better off preparing now for what might not work out than what you prepare later. I was thinking about the whole planning for the hurricane. You know, first of all, we have bitachon that nothing's going to happen, so we don't have to worry about it. Then, it's probably not going to hit here. And I remember going through all these things. I was trying to question which of these thoughts were human frailty, that, you know, we just, nobody wanted to face it. Sometimes you have to deal with it. You have to deal with the possible contingencies. It happened to be we did make a lot of preparations in expecting the worst, but I'm sure many people didn't. Okay, let's go on. Hatoelas hashlishi hu b'midos. V'u she'ein roi la'odam kishe yira shumechuyev shiagilo rama. It's not proper if a person sees that he's going to be stuck with something bad. She yisrashim l'kichas ha'etza eizer ra yishtada l'achigo yoser. He should not desist. He should not be weakened from taking advice. Which evil should he distance himself from more? Ubeezer ra yivchar. Which ra he should choose? You know, pick your poison. What's the expression? The better of two evils. People have, it seems, a difficulty choosing the better of two evils. Linotza me'acher, you want to avoid one. V'yomer she'ein roi shivcha b'ra. He's not going to protect himself from the other one. Why? From the worst one. Because he can't bring himself to choose something bad. Person can't choose. He can't bring himself to take something bad. Ain't anyan kein, it's not so. Ki roi she'yivcher adam b'ra mu'ut. Better you should have a little bit of bed, rather than choosing a bed which is worse. Because that's better for you. Halo tira, take a look. Yaakov was afraid that Esav would wipe out his entire family. He divided them in half. L'tikvaso, with the hope, ki ulai yishor ha'echad, maybe one of them will be spared. L'zos ha'siba chitza yilodem aleyev al-rochel ashti ha'shvachos ha'shivchos v'shem ha'yoseh chavav achron. The ones that were more chavav to him, he put last. Kadesh im Yeshar mehem davar Yeshar Yosef Chavivlo. He put the ones who were more chaviv to him at the end. So if they kill one half, the other half will be left. Aye, that's pashut. Why should he be able to wipe out a whole... He's coming with 400 people. Who does he have, Yaakov? He has the women and children there. So, of course, he should divide it in half. Better they should lose half than you lose whole. But it seems that's also a human frailty. It's hard to choose something which is bad. I don't want to lose half. How can I split them in half? I'll lose half. People have difficulty doing that. Of course you should take the best of the two evils. Just to illustrate the point, I was reading that Rav Weissmandel, Michal Ber Weissmandel, his entire life, so he knew at some point he might get taken by the Nazis and thrown on these trains going to the concentration camps. And he studied the thickness of the walls of the trains in case that should happen, so he should know how to cut through it. And then he also studied on a moving train, if you have to jump off, what angle to jump off to be able to survive the fall and still be able to function. And, okay, if you're not familiar with Weissmandel, he was able to save the deportation of, they say, a couple hundred thousand Hungarian Jews. And he lamented and he was tzibrachin the rest of his life that he wasn't able to catapult the Jewish people in Gullus, in the United States. He couldn't convince them or get people to convince them to be able to give money. They say they could have saved millions of Jews from slaughter just by a whole elaborate plan how he figured it out. But they say, like, to his dying day, he was put onto that train with his wife and many, many, many children. And he wanted everyone to jump out. They couldn't bring themselves to jump. You know, I don't think this is one Ralbag away from being able to jump. But they asked him, why didn't he force them out? He couldn't. He couldn't bring himself to throw them off that train. Some of his children would have survived. Maybe they would have survived. A lot of them, you know, it's throw a moving train at who knows how many tens of miles an hour. He couldn't bring himself to throw his little kids off the train. But that's a, you know, extreme example of, okay, it'd be very difficult, but just a deher that it's very difficult to choose something which you know is bad, but you're saving yourself from something which is much worse. And sometimes a person's in a position, they have to do that. Okay, the last one, Hatolos Harvi Hu Bemidos, V'Ushein Roy Shimna Adam Miespalal L'Shem Yisala, V'Afilu Be'Eis HaSekana Atzuma. A person should not desist from davening to Hashem, even when there's a sakana. Karam Zal, Afilu Cherev Chada Munachas Al Tzavaro Shal Adam, even if there's a sword, a pointed sword on his neck. Ayimona atzam arachim. You shouldn't hold yourself back from asking for rachamim. Halotira, take a look. Yaakov inu ima yosef betachlis sakana lefi machshavto. Yaakov was in terrible sakana. She'esav achiv asher hayasoni oso sinas mavis. That Esav was coming to kill him. Hayabok kenegda b'derech am im arba meos ish, and he was coming against him with 400 men. Hispal l'shem sh'yatziluhu. He was coming to, he came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to David to save him. Okay, first of all, like, why shouldn't you daven? And Elamai, you know, a person will feel like, what's the use in davening? The fate, my fate is sealed. What's the use? It looks so bleak. But just with the hair, that this is Yaakov Avinu. You know, Yaakov Avinu is... This is being pointed out that we had it out. You know, it was a shevach of Yaakov Avinu. That even a Yaakov Avinu theoretically might think it. Koshke and us, and we have challenges, and very often when the challenges come, we almost hold back from davening, because there's part of us think that our fate is sealed. What's the use? And even a Yaakov Avinu could theoretically fall into this trap that our fate is sealed. What's the use? So the Teretz is, we have to mechazik ourselves, that we have to be prepared to daven to Hashem. No matter what the challenge, and no matter what the human nature says, like, you know, what's the use? It looks, to our eyes, it looks like there's no hope. But we have an obligation to daven for rachim. It could still be rachimim. We've heard all those stories also. Tremendous rachim come about. We don't know what the outcome will be, but the gates of rachim are open to us. So just to chazer over these points. Number one, that this tactic of using a technique that will show the hated one that he is being treated as an oev will help, even though you've not even addressed the reason why he hates you. And even though there's even an overriding situation of Esav shonnes Yaakov, which would situation where, you know, it apparently is just like empty platitudes. I guess it also should be stated that this is not for, you know, common everyday use, but the people that we connect with. I think this is, at least to me, it does not appear mukhruch that this could be used in this type of situation, dealing with Russia, I mean, one time. I always like saying the mice, I used this once with a Verizon operator who wanted to charge us like $700 for our phone over the summer, which was normally $40. 1 year was $700, because I didn't call to tell him that we wanted not the standard plan, but the cheaper plan. But because I didn't call, every year it was like that, because you didn't call, we put you on the standard plan. So my wife, who dealt with the situation until it went into collection for about a year and a half, she kept saying, are you crazy? Why would you put us on a plan that's 20 times more money? Why would you think we would want that? She got nowhere. She was so frustrated. So I finally said I would call. And I called, and I totally apologized. I messed up so terribly. There's probably nothing you can do for me. I was supposed to go on vacation. I used all my vacation money to give to Verizon. I'm in the doghouse. This lady on the phone felt so bad for me. She said, let me get your supervisor. I'm sure we can do something for you. And then within like 5 minutes, they took off the whole $700 charge. Right, we could decide whether I was allowed to do that. I don't know. I'm sure they'll still take the money. Then we have that a person has to be able to size things up and be prepared for the worst. Even though there's a possibility that it's good, but there's a tendency to not want to deal with things. And Yaakov, even though one could have triage this as, no big deal, it's probably the 400 people are coming to mechabit him, but he knew this is a possibility also that he's coming to kill him. So he had to prepare for that. And the third item, that there seems to be a difficulty in choosing the best of two evils. But people have a tendency to just don't want to deal with it because you can't choose the worse evil, the better evil. Because how can I choose something that's bad? You can't deal with it. And in Mela, they subject themselves to a much worse fate. And then the last item is that even for a Yaakov Avinu, it seems to be also a Nisayan that when we see things that are, you know, fait accompli, it's like there's no hope, there's a tendency to not daven. So there's this chizuk from Yaakov Avinu that we still have to daven. Could still ask for rachamim. It sounds like we, at Koshke, you would daven. Why would you need the extra chizik? But there's a tendency to, like when it's worse, you want to daven more. But it seems like it has the opposite effect. When a person sees something very gloomy, they want to give up, but it's not the case. It's not just futility, just the opposite. That's when you should daven. You should daven more. And it seems like this is a lesson that we need. With everything that we learn, it's not just written for people who don't daven, it's to the great people. Even the great people need this chizik, that when a challenge comes before us, even though to our eyes it may look like there's no hope, but we still have to daven.